And at the first contact, Hooker ordered a withdrawal. He called all his troops back down into the wilderness to Chancellorsville. That is the key moment of the entire campaign. There hadn't been much fighting, just a few shots exchanged, in fact, but Hooker had absolutely lost his nerve. There's no other way to explain it. At the first contact with Lee, he lost his nerve. He pulled his army back and put it into a defensive position. That is when the Battle of Chancellorsville was decided. There were going to be 3 days of very hard fighting ahead, but Hooker, I believe, was already a beaten man on the morning of May 1st, 1863. Lee now had the initiative, and he decided to split his army again. He and Stonewall Jackson met on the night of May 1st, decided to try to send Jackson's part of the army around Hooker's right flank and roll up Hooker's right flank with a massive assault. Local people helped them find a network of roads that would allow them to do that. And on May 2nd, Lee, with just 14,000 men, held Hooker's attention at Chancellorsville, while Jackson took about 28,000, and in the most famous flanking march of the war, put his Second Corps astride Hooker's right flank and launched a very famous assault about 5 o'clock on the afternoon of the 2nd. He shattered the Union 11th Corps, commanded by O.O. Howard. The poor Union soldiers should have been warned, but they weren't. They were caught by surprise, driven back about 2 miles. Nightfall came, however, and the Confederate attack lost its momentum. Jackson rode forward to try to find a way to maintain that momentum, and in the darkness and the smoke and the confusion of the wilderness, his party rode into the path of a Confederate regiment that was firing a volley, not at them, but in another direction, and a number of the missiles from that volley hit Jackson. He was carried to the rear with 3 wounds. His left arm was amputated that night. When Jackson went down, the attack lost all of its steam. When Lee learned that his great lieutenant had been wounded, he said, "He has lost his left arm, but I have lost my right." And he, in fact, had lost his greatest lieutenant. Now, the Confederates were still divided at Chancellorsville. Hooker's, the bulk of his army, was still in between Jackson's part of the force and Lee's part of the force. But on the morning of May 3rd, hard fighting by the Confederates enabled Lee to unite those two wings of his army. Hooker had no offensive thoughts whatsoever, although he vastly outnumbered Lee. Meanwhile, Sedgwick had pushed the 10,000 Confederates out of Fredericksburg and was marching toward Chancellorsville. So for a third time, Lee divided his army. He left about 25,000 men to hold Hooker near Chancellorsville and took the rest of his troops eastward to deal with Sedgwick. On May 3rd and 4th, in the Battle of Salem Church, Sedgwick's part of the Union Army was defeated as well, and by night of May 6th, the Army of the Potomac had retreated back across the Rappahannock. It had been a bloody campaign. 17,000 Federal casualties, 13,000 Confederate casualties. By far the most important of those 13,000 was Stonewall Jackson. This was Lee's most brilliant victory, a primer on the bold use of veteran troops in the face of a superior foe in numbers, but a foe that didn't have as good a leadership. It was also perhaps the South's most costly victory, for on May 10th, Stonewall Jackson died of pneumonia that probably arose from complications related to his wounds on May the 2nd. News of Chancellorsville hit the North very, very hard. Lincoln's face literally went pale, according to witnesses, when he learned that Lee had again defeated the Army of the Potomac. "My God," he said, "my God, what will the country say?" Coming so soon after the defeat at Fredericksburg, this seemed to be an enormously bad piece of news for the North. Anti-war elements in the North, the copperheads among the Democrats and others, took heart. It became a much more difficult situation for Lincoln. On the Confederate side, perhaps the greatest result of the campaign was that it sealed Lee's position as the great military idol of the Confederacy. He'd had a year now in command, and from the 7 days to Second Manassas, through the Maryland campaign and Fredericksburg and Chancellorsville, he had demonstrated to the Confederate people that he and his army would win the kind of victories that they craved. The forward-moving, aggressive victories, they became by far the most important national institution in the Confederacy. They would be, for the rest of the war, the great rallying point for the Confederate people. Chancellorsville, as much as anything else that Lee did, sealed his reputation as a great commander. So we'll leave the armies here in Virginia now. In our next lecture, we'll continue with our military narrative of 1863, and we'll look at Lee's attempt to build on his success at Fredericksburg and Chancellorsville by taking the war across the Potomac River for a second time.